Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father, we praise you that you are so richly generous, that you're a God who invests in us and a God who wants us to work with you in bringing blessing in your world. And Father, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit to empower us. We pray that you will speak to us now by your Spirit, that you will challenge us and you will prepare us to go out and to serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you've heard, I've just got back from a month's trip to Congo, and thank you for that prayer for sunshine, because it's definitely my prayer as well. And one of the things I was doing was working with one of the translation teams, the OMI team, and I know many of you were praying for us, and thank you so much, because we really felt supported by people's prayers. It was tough. An intensive work, but we managed to finish checking Matthew's Gospel, which we've been trying to do for about 3 years. And so That's a picture of the Omi translators and me. And now Matthew is ready to be published so that people in the Omi community can read it and get it into their hearts and lives. As we were working on Matthew, because I had to prepare each chapter to check with the team, I was really challenged by a lot of different passages, but especially by chapter 25 and this parable that we've just read, the parable of the talents. And since it's all about gifts and using gifts, I thought it was a good passage for us to look at as we think about how we can respond with the gifts that God's given us as we have gift day. And this parable comes in the middle of a chunk of Jesus' teaching. Matthew has five big chunks of teaching, and this is the last one, chapters 24 and 25. And this chunk is all about being ready for the king, being ready for the king's return, and living with a long-range perspective, with the king's long-range perspective on our lives. In fact, it's the climax of all of Jesus' teaching in Matthew, this section, and it's just before he's arrested and killed. So it's really important. He's telling his disciples, and that's us as well, how to be ready for when he will return again. And the disciples have asked him a question at the beginning of chapter 24. They want to know when the end is going to come and what's the sign going to be that Jesus is coming back. But here, in the whole of chapter 25, Jesus is saying it's not when that's important, but it's how are we preparing, how are we getting ready right now for Jesus' return. And it's now that is what counts. Now is the time to invest for lasting or everlasting returns and profits. Because being ready for Jesus, being ready for the King, means being faithful in using what he's given us, in using the resources and the gifts that he's given us, and investing them in his kingdom and in his world. So let's have a look at the characters in the story. First of all, there's the master. I'm not sure that that's a good picture of the master, but it's the best I could find. And he takes enormous risks himself. He takes the risk of entrusting to others, to his servants, his riches. He gives them massive amounts. A talent was actually worth maybe half a lifetime's wages. And so to one of these servants, he gives five times that. And he recognizes each servant's unique potential. So he gives different resources and different gifts to each one. He's sensitive to who they are and to their ability. And that's what God is like with us. He's fabulously generous and open-handed with his resources and his blessings. And he gives every single one of us gifts so that we can make a unique contribution to his kingdom. And it's amazing, really, isn't it, that God offers us the opportunity of joining with him in his creative work of multiplying blessing in the world. The next two characters are the two faithful servants in the story. One gets five talents and the other one gets two. And both of them recognize this incredible opportunity that they've been given, and they grab it with both hands, and they're enthusiastic and single-minded about multiplying their master's riches. And they know this is a chance for growth, not just for the resources, but for them as well. So they take the risk and they invest, and both of them get a double return on their investments. Do we have the eyes to see the gifts and the opportunities that God has entrusted us with? We enjoy amazing blessings of material wealth, in comparison to the majority of the world, in comparison to the majority of history. We're more educated and in better health, and we're living longer than any generation ever. And we're able to travel, we're able to communicate in ways that people wouldn't even have imagined even two generations ago. So how are we responding to all these amazing blessings and gifts that we have? We can start simply by opening our eyes and recognizing what we have. And then by being thankful, living with an attitude of thankfulness. And then, of course, we need to be ready and willing to use and invest what God has given us for him. And these faithful servants have this long-range perspective. They live with the end constantly in view. Things must be pretty hard work for them in the short term. And this investment demands everything of them. But in the long term, it's more than worth it. Because when the master returns, he heaps praise and honor on them. Well done, good and faithful servant. Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear Jesus saying that to us? The praise is the same for both of them. Their different amounts that they return aren't what counts, but what counts is their faithfulness. And these words are a rich reward for them. You can just picture them glowing and basking in the king's and the master's approval. Yesterday, the Queen's honours list was announced, which I suppose is a kind of recognition and approval for good work done in this country. But the honour that these servants are receiving from the King is a million times multiplied what somebody would get from the Queen's honours. I heard that Rowan Atkinson got an honour, which must have been for his part in the Olympics opening ceremony last year, maybe. But these servants don't just get praise as a reward, they also get other rewards. The master says, you've been faithful with a few things, and I'll now put you in charge of many things. But the reward that they receive is lots more responsibility. We can be tempted to see responsibility negatively, can't we, as a burden. But with God and in God's kingdom, responsibility means joy. It means participating in God's blessing and creativity. And the master says, come and share your master's happiness. It's an opportunity to be creative and fruitful people as God made us to be. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says that we are God's workmanship. In the Greek it actually says the word that we get poem from. We are God's poem, or his work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance. So each one of us has unique things to do, unique good works, and we just need to ask God and discern what those good works are. When we do take the plunge and we invest the gifts and the resources that God has given us to serve him, we find that his blessing never stops multiplying in our lives and in his world. And what we experience is joy. But finally, there's the third servant. And he's actually really the focus of the story. He's almost a comic figure at the beginning with his frantic digging in the field, throwing glances over his shoulder maybe to make sure nobody's watching where he's putting this money. You can imagine Mr. Bean doing something similar in a Mr. Bean scene. But the servant's final end isn't comic but tragic. So where does he go wrong? Well, he has several fatal flaws. First of all, he believes what's not true. He believes lies, really, about his master. and maybe about himself. In verse 24, he says, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed." He doesn't see the opportunity that his master is offering him to develop his potential. He doesn't see his master's generosity. He thinks that all that is important is not to lose what he's been given, not to lose his master's money. And we can sometimes let a false understanding of God stop us from fulfilling the potential he's given us too. God is our loving and perfect Father, and he has an unimaginably good purpose for us. And he wants us to work with him in fulfilling the potential that he's given us. But sometimes we're tempted to think that all that's important to God is just that we don't make any mistakes. Or we can find it hard to trust God that he will really be there for us and ready to catch us if we fall, when we do take risks, and when we do step out in faith. And we can believe about ourselves that we don't have anything to offer, that we're insignificant, that God's overlooked us when he gave out gifts. If any of these things or these ways of thinking resonate with you, you can ask God today to change your view of him, to give you a true view of who he is, how much he loves you, how much he's invested in you, and of all that you are, how gifted you are as his child. Second mistake that this servant makes is that he doesn't really get the point that he's been entrusted with his master's riches, and that means an active role, that means active responsibility. And he also doesn't realize that there's joy and fulfillment that will be waiting for him if he exercised that responsibility. Are we in danger of burying gifts that God has given us because we don't want responsibility in God's service? Perhaps we prefer to leave things to others who we see as more gifted or more spiritual. But that's not the way that God looks at us as his children. He doesn't make distinctions between those who are more spiritual and those who are less, those who are more gifted and those who are less. The distinction that he makes is between those who are faithful and those who are not. So what are we? And then the third thing is that this servant is downright lazy. That's what the master says to him in verse 26. "You wicked, lazy servant." He prefers the path of minimum effort, and he doesn't do anything else beyond digging a hole. And sometimes we're just not willing to make the energy commitment that's needed to invest what God has given us. Or we can be afraid of being seen as too fanatical, or afraid that God will just demand too much of us. And we prefer to be comfortable. And actually, it's this fear, being afraid, that is maybe the servant's biggest mistake. Because he just doesn't want to take risks, so he buries his talent. And so often fear of taking risks and fear of many things can hold us back from using what God has given us. We can be afraid of failure. That's certainly something that is true of me. We can be afraid of being laughed at, rejected, afraid of getting out of our comfort zones, afraid of the unknown, afraid that God won't be there for us and won't provide for us. And yet, our Heavenly Father is a God who takes the most enormous risks himself for us. The biggest risk was coming to us in Jesus. And he asks us in return to risk everything for him. And actually, risk is at the heart of life with God. part of the dynamics of living with him. And very, very soberingly, at the end result of the servant's risk-averse approach is a terrible rebuke from his master. You wicked, lazy servant. He's wasted his master's wealth, and he's wasted the opportunity that God offered him, that his master offered him. And so he's relieved of his responsibilities, and he's punished. He chose to do nothing, and now he's left with nothing. So are there gifts and resources that God wants us to use and invest, but we're holding back somehow? Maybe he's asking us to get involved with something at church, children's work, or prayer, worship team, a home group, mentoring others, being involved in mission or mission links, contributing to a Charis family, welcoming new people, doing something to do with admin, organisation. And he may well be asking you to invest generously in his work by giving to Gift Day. Or maybe he also wants you to invest your talents and your gifts beyond church, somewhere in his world. Let's step over our fear and our reluctance, because risks with God are never wasted. They are always an opportunity to experience his faithfulness and to see him bless and multiply whatever small thing we give. And they're opportunities to grow in our faith and in our maturity and to experience the joy of being involved in God's kingdom coming in the world. To finish, I just want to tell you a few examples of people I saw in Congo in these last few weeks who are taking risks for God. People who don't have much materially, but they are doing things with the little that they have, and God is multiplying blessing through them. And they're people who have God's long-range perspective on life. They know that now is not all that there is. The best is yet to come, but now counts for the future. So the first person is somebody called Dada Yamaria. And she is somebody I just met last week as I was walking through her compound, because that's what you do in Congo, you just walk through people's compounds and you meet new people. And I found her teaching about 30 different children, it was after school, teaching them about God's love, basically, doing Sunday school work with them. You can see some of them here, and you can see they're quite a handful. And that's her on the left-hand side. In Congo, half of the population are under 16, but there are very few resources and materials directed towards them for anything, and especially not for teaching them about God. So as I walked past the house with a friend, she pulled me into her house and asked me to pray with her for strength in this tough ministry, and to pray with her for resources. She hasn't really got any resources. She's teaching them out of her heart and what she knows of God. And the children were crowding around her, and it was obvious that they were experiencing God's love through her and learning about him through her. So God is using her and her faithfulness to bring blessing and multiply blessing in their lives. And then a second inspiration for me in Congo is a young male voice choir that we have at our church. They're called Les Perles, which means the pearls. And when you listen to them, you really are transported out of this world, and you get a taste of what worship in heaven will be like. And they're contributing to God's kingdom by communicating God's word through song, through their songs. They're extremely committed They're all young men, in maybe around 20 or slightly younger. And they rehearse four times a week at 6 o'clock in the morning before they go off to school or college or work. And for me, they're a sign of hope in a country that has known so much chaos. And they're also an example of harmony and excellence. The harmony and excellence that's possible when people come together and use God's gifts to serve him. I've just got a clip of them because I'd love you to hear what they sound like. David's just working on it. Translation in French, and that was their rehearsal at 6 o'clock last Saturday morning. And then the church that they belong to and I belong to is also an example of people using what God has given them to invest and to serve him and worship him. It's a church that's really bursting at the seams. It's got about 2,000 people now, and the building is pretty small, and choirs and discipleship classes and pastors and clinics and prayer groups are all competing for space in the current building. And it also has about 600 children who at the moment squash into makeshift shacks at the back of the church for their Sunday school. This is the current church building. This isn't on a Sunday, that's why. This is what it looks like on a Sunday, lots of people coming in and out. And the church has committed itself to a building project to provide rooms for the Sunday school and offices for pastors. So they've set themselves a target of raising $120,000 from within their own congregation. Now, many of the members only have an income of a pound or two a day, but people are faithfully giving the little that they have, and the project is more than a third of the way there already. And this is the building that's being built. It's two story, and the bottom story is already being put to good use every morning with discipleship classes and choir practices and meetings. Thankfully, health and safety rules are a little more relaxed in Congo than in the UK, so it's fine. And people's investment of the little that they have is already multiplying and bearing fruit for God. Jim Elliot was a missionary in Ecuador, and he was martyred. But he once said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." So what risks is God asking us to take? What is he asking us to give? What is he asking us to invest? We don't need to have lots, and we don't need to be extraordinary. We just need to be willing to use the little that we do have and to be faithful. And our Heavenly Father is the God of new beginnings. So if we feel that we haven't been faithful, he's just waiting for us to turn to him and to confess that to him and to ask him to help us to start again, to empower us by his Spirit so that we can use what he's given us. So let's ask him to give us new courage and a new desire to use what he's given us. Not just on gift day, but every day. And let's ask him to give us his long-range perspective on life here, so that we can invest his resources and we can share his joy. And we can hear him saying to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant."